It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week we are going to wrap up at a interesting discussion you've been having on the subject of gender dysphoria, the transgender issue. You encounter this occasionally in your counseling work, and kind of remind us where we've been so far in this discussion.
Sure, a little review. This is the third and probably the final on this topic. First, and by the way, you can hear the entire series in the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. BibleBasedCounselor.com. The first show, we pretty much talked about the history of the terminology, gender dysphoria, and the societal objective, which is, it seems like such a complex issue, but it's all pretty simple, isn't it? This is the societal objective is to cast off moral restraints. I mean, that's our sinful nature. That's the basis of it. Mm-hmm. And the way they're doing this, American Psychiatric Association, back in the first program that we had, we talked about how that they since the 1970s they've been conflating terms to normalize abnormal behaviors. And that's their societal objective. The individual objective we talked about in that first show too really has to do with loving, love myself. People say, I want to love myself. And that's pretty much a common pursuit in human society, particularly in the West, but possibly – I say particularly in the West, that's where we live and that's where it seems so really out front. But, human beings are the same the world around, so other cultures have ways of doing this too. But what we're really looking for, we emphasized in that show, is to find goodness in ourselves, which that's not where goodness resides. So we're always disappointed. We tend to make it about ourselves and get – Our world, I would phrase it this way, our world gets smaller and smaller, more fear, more anxiety, more depression, not a good scene. In the second show, we talked about kind of the question of whether or not it matters. If God is looking on the heart and not the outward appearance, what difference does it make about my body? So we talked about God and gender, and you may recall if you heard that show that we talked about the analogy of a prism with light shining into the prism and then being refracted, and how that could be a metaphor of creation where God through creation is seen to have certain characteristics and certain aspects and virtues. And if we blur those, we blur our understanding of God. So the fact that there is gender in creation tells us something about the nature of God, although it isn't clear to us because of our limited perspective. But again, to blur the genders, and that's why we also talked in that show about the attack against genders is just one of the many battlefronts where absolutes are being attacked and blurred, because if you can blur the absolutes and blur the sense of order in creation.
It seems almost kind of like the final stage in the destruction of a certainly a person and even a society that tolerates this kind of thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that strongly. In fact, I've often said that the ultimate humanistic statement isn't that there isn't a God, it's that there is a God, but there's more of us.
more of us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so today, I want to talk about, in wrapping this up, I want to talk about, kind of focus in on some questions that people have. First question I want to look at is, does it matter? And again, we talked about that a bit in the second show, but just to recap, it matters to God. Gender matters to God. And if I am born with a male body, that matters to God, because being unnatural this transgender issue, transgenderism being unnatural violates the nature of God. Just like a virus violates my human body, sin violates the nature of God. And so God deals with sin. I think that interesting line of thought is if you want to understand how and why God judges sin or why God judges sin, take a look at the human immune system. I think we'll find that sin, that there's a parallel there, that we can learn a lot about God's response to sin by understanding our body's response to the immune system. And that might just be an interesting sideline, but for some people, I think there's something, again, that can be seen and understood there. God's nature is order, and God is the source of order, not of disorder. And so when, again, as I said previously, when we start to blur the lines of order and we indoctrinate ourselves and others with the idea of chaos and that there really isn't an order in life, there really isn't an order in our environment, then God becomes a less necessary, less conclusive. So it matters to God. It matters to me because if we recall the prism, blurring the lines of nature's order confuses my understanding of God. So it matters. If we can view the universe and view our lives and view ourselves as something that is chaotic, and that we're just making up our own, we're making up our own purpose, we're making up our own, it's an existentialist view that there isn't really an order in life. There really isn't a purpose in life. That's you create your own purpose. You decide your own view of life, and that's your truth. And if we can manage to convince ourselves of that, God becomes a less of an issue for us. We don't need God to explain the universe if the universe doesn't make any sense. If gender doesn't matter, if that doesn't make any sense, then we don't need God to explain it. Another question is that people ask, why am I unsettled? Maybe they wouldn't use these words, but this would be the thing that would bring someone to counseling that was self-diagnosed or diagnosed by someone else with gender dysphoria and they're having issues with their body.
And this is when it changed in the 70s because it was considered abnormal then, and you guys in your community decided to try to help people to start to accept themselves, mm-hmm. because there was a lot of depression associated with this, mm-hmm. suicidal mm-hmm. ideation because of it. So yeah, it came as a compassionate thing to try and help people to feel comfortable with themselves.
Yeah, and that all, you know, there's a history to this that understand that there was a whole movement, not just about, it was the casting off of restraints. It wasn't just about a sexual revolution. There was a revolution, a drug revolution, the first heavily marketed serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which was, had the street name LSD. Mm. And people discovered and rationalized that, good grief, if you could have access to these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, there's no excuse for ever being depressed or anxious. Just pop this pill in your mouth and you're just going to feel fine. It was casting off responsibility. You don't have to be you're not responsible for your anxiety, depression. You know, just take this pill. Mm. That was just one battlefront. The other battlefront was, yes, people with these tendencies. And we all have there's a pull on all of us. Let's face it, as Christians, we know this language. Sin has a pull on every person's heart. It's not always the same, but it's we don't the first step is not to yield to it, but but to overcome
it. And that used to be the goal of counseling, certainly even Christian counseling, was to try and help people to deal with sin and resisting temptation, resisting sin.
Right.
And now it became more how to embrace it and not feel so bad about it.
Yeah, not to feel bad about it. And then the finger was pointed at you know, people feel bad because there are laws against this. You know, if you change the laws, people won't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that works to a point.
Sure.
If everything's legal. So, you know, why am I unsettled about my gender? Excuse me. So a number of factors converge here, and we're not going to go into all of these. It would be shows in and of themselves, but family of origin issues enter in, parenting styles, dysfunctions within families. Many of you might be familiar with teachings about family curses and things like that, you know, or we certainly do pass on generation to generation our faults, our values, and so
is that
on
even
and so
a, does
forth.
That become even a genetic thing, or is it just purely spiritual? Where is that sourced?
Good question, Mark. I suppose I'm just gonna wade out in the weeds here a bit and say, there's a thin line between. The influence of genetics on behavior and the influence of behavior on genetics. There's a field of study in genetics that epigenetics, actually, where there are some who believe that behaviors over a period of time can affect your genetics. So, but interesting question. But it doesn't relieve us from the responsibility of controlling our behaviors, you know, that's what Christ did on the cross. Was
that's
give
always
us freedom
your, each
from
person
that.
Is responsible before God for their the way they live their life. You can't blame other people.
Right. You have to walk in the light that you have. So you have the family of origin. You know, there's the whole thing of self-awareness and self-definition. You know, who am I? I must define myself. And this, you know, self. There's a hint there, maybe a clue. Physiological changes that happen. Now, I'm talking, as I was talking here, a lot of these things influence us more in our early years, and primarily those adolescent years, and where physiological change is going on, cultural pressure, more so today than ever.
Huge.
With social media.
It's almost like a religion.
Yes, yeah, and it is a religion. And lack of meaningful purpose. I tell people, you can never change your behavior unless it costs you more than you're willing to pay. If people don't have some kind of a higher purpose to guide their life, as Proverbs says, without a progressive vision, the people wander aimlessly. So why am I unsettled? There are a lot of converging factors, but I want to talk about human condition when we come back from the break, because that is kind of the bullseye in the target when we're talking about the why I'm unsettled.
Okay. We're talking about gender dysphoria this week, kind of wrapping up this discussion. It's been several in the series. You can hear those previous shows at BibleBasedCounselor.com, and we'll continue the discussion in moments. If people are struggling with this issue, maybe they have somebody in their family or their sphere of influence who want some help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. The website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. People can contact me through that website and find this podcast as well. And offices, Edmonds and Kirtland.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in moments.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, discussing the issue of gender dysphoria this week, how to help people with this problem, transgender issues. And Daniel, you got to be kind of careful these days, you counselor types. A lot of people coming after you legally, at least for talking to minors about this subject. You guys technically, like they call it, conversion therapy if you try and talk to people about these issues.
Yeah, conversion therapy is a particular approach, but it's similar to any. It's a good common sense approach, and so even if counselors aren't using quote unquote conversion therapy, they're accused of using because the other side uses it as a big dragnet term that it just basically includes any Christian counseling on the topic. Mm. Yeah.
So people who want to change and the conditions that they're dealing with, we're discussing that this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the human condition, and so following up on the question, why am I unsettled about my gender? A big part of it is the human condition, and so I'll just say again, it seems to be on the surface a very complex issue. We've made it complex because we're trying to. In a lot of quarters, and I'm not talking about Christians necessarily, but culturally, we're trying to ride two sides of the fence. We're trying to uphold some kind of morality, and yet on the other side, we're trying to have permission to do anything without any moral culpability. And so the human condition, primarily, we're looking for goodness in ourselves. That's, gay pride. Pride is actually a response to shame. It's not that we think we're better. It's that we have no alternative but to be better because, we have the alternative is to just be swallowed up by our shame and guilt. And since we refuse to do that, we're going to get, bullhorns or a platform or something and shout out that we're innocent and that we're proud. And so that's what that's about. But really what we're looking for is goodness within ourselves. You see, sin brought along our mortality, and our mortality is packaged with guilt, shame, anxiety, depression, all of these things that we're trying to medicate nowadays and escape. And these things all lead us to pursue value, control, and power. This is how we deal with our guilt, our shame, our fear, our anxiety, our depression. We pursue value, control, and power. But as I say, what we're really looking for is goodness. The goodness that we actually lost when sin entered humanity. Now, intuition and conviction tell us that we can't have goodness without God, and so we settle for value, control, and power. Value to be valued within a supportive community, to have control over circumstances that impact my life, and to have power or resources. In order to have value, we have to agree with opinions of our valued community. We have to agree with their opinions. In order to have control, we have to discount the opinions and the values that threaten us. And in order to have power or sense of resources, we're not alone. We have to have this community. We're joined by a community.
Power maybe to have our pride.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's the word.
The value, control, and power is gay pride is a conclusion to that pursuit. Just to insist that we're proud about our state. Is a bit of a trap here. I think of one-way doors, and you've been in shopping situations where you're trying to find the exit door and you find a door and it says exit, but you recognize it as a fire escape, which means if you go out, you're not going to be able to come back in. Sin is that way. We go through doors because pressure builds, and so we need an escape. So we go through a door and it turns out to be a one-way door. We can't get back. Like a weather system, high pressure, pressure builds, and then something happens, a tipping point, and the high pressure flows into the low pressure. It's almost as though kids have had these difficulties. People have had these difficulties, but rather than seek the proper resolution, society has opened up a door. And the high pressure just flows into this low pressure, but it's like a one-way door, and we find ourselves going deeper and deeper into immorality. So a final couple of questions. the individual asks, what can I do? Let's say a person is trapped in this situation. They want to get out. What can we do? And so I'm going to give you just some general things here. Of course, you working these out, whether through counseling or through prayer and just God's leading, you'll have to unpack these because everyone's path is a bit different. But basically this perspective, we have to stop believing the lie. It's an existentialist idea, the lie that your own life, that you own your life. That's a lie. I don't own my life. I don't own my life, and it is not true that the purposes of my life are defined by myself. And so we have to stop believing this lie that I own this life and it belongs to me, and what I say goes, and what I say is good is good. We have to acknowledge that God is the source of life. And, you know, this is not something that we just do once. I'm 71 years old, and, you know, I'm still realizing some of these things, that God is the source of my life, and that my life is hidden in Christ. So these aren't things that you do easily. These are things that you pursue for a lifetime, and you grow gradually in them. Our purpose in life is found in knowing Christ, a deeper relationship with God. Now, we don't have goodness in ourselves. We are separated from the source of goodness other than through a relationship with God. So goodness resides in God. That's fundamental. The only goodness that we can experience in ourselves or about ourselves is what God is doing in us and through us. If you stop to think this through, this was quite a revelation for me, that as I was looking into this and preparing for these shows, that we're searching for good in myself. I'm searching for good in myself, but the only good that actually is in myself is what God is doing in me and through me. God being the source of goodness. And
kind of as we wrap up here, what can parents do? A lot of parents are encouraged to affirm this behavior and enable this behavior, and that is a real problem.
So there are different circumstances. First of all, let's talk about prevention. This would be young kids that maybe you don't see these problems yet, but maybe your kids are going to public schools. They're certainly on social media, and they're listening to the news, and so you know that this is coming your way. You have to get ahead of your children so that you can lead. You have to study and understand the arguments that culture is bringing. You have to be able to break those down and debunk them biblically, scientifically, and historically. We have attacks on our history, on our scientific knowledge, and on the authority of the Bible. So it's not enough just to quote scriptures. You have to be able to apply these things. So you have to understand why these things are wrong biblically, why they're wrong scientifically, and why they're wrong historically. You have to find the resources. You've got to do the work. You can't lag behind. You can't trust others to be and make them responsible to teach your children. Mm. Not even Sunday school. You shouldn't even trust the Sunday school teachers. For the most part, you don't know them. I'm not saying they're teaching false doctrine, but maybe they're not teaching anything that has any teeth in it. Your kids are looking to you for the answers. If you're not interested in their Sunday school classes, they can only assume that it isn't important. So you can't leave that up to Sunday school teachers or the school. You can't afford to be incredible, irrelevant, and out of touch. You have to be the leader in the eyes of your children. So So you have to be a student, parent. You've got to be a student, and you've got to be a teacher, and you can't just put this off. Mm-hmm. When it seems too late, perspective. So this is like my kids are grown, and they've shocked me. They're coming out, and I've had situations where my son is marrying another man or my daughter's marrying another woman. What can I do? What can I do? Judges 14, you know, Samson meets Delilah. Samson met this woman, the wrong woman, and he told his parents, and they tried to warn him and tell him this is not a good deal. But the Bible says there that God was going to use this. God was going to use, because God was going to use this to defeat the Philistines. That's not giving people permission to sin, but God is going to use your kids, the path that your kids have chosen, your young people have chosen. God is going to use that for His glory somehow. A man named Arthur Katz once said, If it isn't a matter of life and death, then it isn't a matter of faith at all. So until we've struggled with these things, parents, we really even haven't even tested our faith. Mm-hmm. So our perspective needs to be based in the eternal purpose of God. Here's our kids going down this path, but is God going to use that in the body of Christ at some point? Are they going to turn out to be evangelists or missionaries? Remember Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Lead with perfect love, not fear. Our relationship with God needs to be deepened so that we don't fear the path our young people have chosen. God is more than able, but we're also learning from their experience. It's our valley of the shadow of death as well. Psalms 23, the Lord is our shepherd. So learn to abide in him through your faith, joy, and hope. God is going to speak to your family.
Okay, some hope maybe for families who are going through this with their young people. If you need some help in this subject of gender dysphoria, transgender issues going on in the family, Daniel has worked with people struggling with this. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Office is Kirkland Edmonds. Website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you can hear this podcast again. Also doing Skype counseling for some people still interested in that.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.